I want my name! He didn't take my name! He's only a punk! Marcos got my name! And you can run and tell him, kid! He's gonna give it back to me! He's gonna give it back to me in front of the neighborhood! Oh, we have it out! We have it out! Come on! Where is he? Take me to him! I had enough! Come on, let's go! I want my name, Marco! I want my name!
Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. I thought it would be interesting to begin this edition by channeling Eddie Carbone, the character from View from a Bridge, by Arthur Miller, who famously, of course, got very upset because someone took his name. And I reference it because of what I want to talk about today is offence. What kind of people are easily offended? What kind of people take offence? What causes people to take offence? And I started with that because a while ago I met this Indian chap who was living in Oulu, where I live, and I just kept forgetting his name. I kept forgetting his name. And eventually, on the third occasion that I met him and I had to ask his name again, he remembered my name, and he evidently became offended by this. And this feeling of offence kind of sizzled throughout the evening, you know, kind of grew and grew under the surface, until at some point in the evening, once we'd both had a bit to drink, he practically wanted to fight. And what seemed to provoke this was the fact that I couldn't remember his name. And he had, I think, correctly inferred that the reason I couldn't remember his name was because he was, as far as I was concerned, an insipid, uninteresting, moderately annoying person, but not annoying enough to be memorable. He was simply unmemorable. There was a great deal about him that was forgettable. And this included his name. And this offended him, because obviously he felt that, you know, he was important and he was interesting and he was vital, and consequently I should be expected to remember his name. And so that's what I want to look at today. What is it that causes offence? What is the evolution of being offended? Why do some people become more easily offended than others? Well, there was a very interesting paper on this that was published in 2017 called Feeling Offended, A Blow to Our Social Image, by two Italian researchers, Isabella Poggi and Francesca D'Errico, published in Frontiers in Psychology. And what they showed is that offence, being offended, is one of the self-conscious emotions. It goes alongside, and indeed it kind of crosses over with things like shame, guilt, pride, humiliation. And there's two dimensions to it, really. There's personal factors, i.e. who is more likely to be offended? What is the kind of person who is more likely to be offended? And there's relational factors, which is important. What and who offends? So something is an offence or not an offence, depending on who it emanates from. Now, the essence of being offended, they argue, relates to an insult to ideal value. In evolutionary terms, we have an expectation of recognition. We need to essentially maintain self-esteem. Self-esteem must be kept relatively high. If we have very low self-esteem, then we become depressed, we become inactive, we become anxious, we become basically not socially useful. One of the dimensions of the general factor of personality, that is to say, moderately high extroversion, or optimally high extroversion, openness, intellect, conscientiousness, that's rule following, agreeableness, that's altruism, and low neuroticism, that's let's say feeling negative, feeling strongly, not doing so to a great extent, is that you have quite high self-esteem. People that have quite high self-esteem tend to get on in life. They're more confident, they're more confident in themselves, they get more friends, people want to be with them, they basically do well. And under evolutionary terms, of course, there's strong selection to do well. Those who don't do well, will not, particularly males, will not be able to obtain high social status, which general factor of personality predicts. It predicts socioeconomic status. And under pre-Darwinian conditions, socioeconomic status, as we've looked at in other videos, is what predicts passing on your genes. The higher you are in the social hierarchy, the more likely females are to want to marry you and have babies with you, because the higher you are in the social hierarchy, the better access you'll have to resources, the more likely, therefore, the children will be to survive and pass on their genes. And consequently, there is strong selection in favour, really, of something like self-esteem. So it's very important that you, that within certain boundaries, that you maintain a high sense of self-esteem. And so something is offensive to you if it causes you to lower your sense of self-esteem, if it causes you to have lower self-esteem. The other thing that's all important in, among social animals, of course, is reputation. You have to have a reputation for being a good person, for being an intelligent person, for having all of these socially positive qualities. Now, if somebody says something about you that's negative, of course, it offends you. You have this feeling of being offended, this visceral reaction. It would make sense from an evolutionary perspective that you'd have that because it has to be stamped out. You can't have people, particularly if you're male, going around denigrating your reputation. You can't have people basically questioning your powerfulness, because this will make you less attractive to other males in terms of the socioeconomic hierarchy, less attractive to females in terms of wanting to have children. And so this has to be stamped out. You have to stamp out people who are going to denigrate your sense of self-esteem and your reputation. And so consequently, it makes sense that we would have this visceral feeling of being offended, and we would have a great desire to stamp out, to stop it. The motivator to stop this would be the very strong feelings that we feel when we are offended. It's status, as I say, that's all important, particularly for males. It's an issue of power. You have this image of yourself, and that image has to be positive. It has to be maintained. You have to maintain self-esteem. So who is doing the criticising also becomes relevant, and what they're criticising. So first of all, on the hand, yes, of course, there's criticising us, but an aspect to our status is the groups that we're in. And so depending on how important those groups are to who we are and to our sense of self and our sense of stability in the world, we will tend to be offended if people criticise the groups that we're a part of. Because by saying that the group that we're a part of is a problem, they're saying that we are a problem. They're saying that we're not important. They're making us question our worldview. They're making us question our sense of reassurance, and thus to a certain degree our sense of self-esteem. So for example, a video that I did a while ago, which obviously offended quite a few people, was on the average IQ of the Irish. And I still get hate mail about this to this day from people who are Irish, who evidently aren't particularly, not that I'm saying this is true of the whole people, but these individuals aren't particularly bright or logical, and thus they have a visceral reaction to me saying this empirically true fact about the nature of the Irish intelligence, average IQ. They can't deal with it, because it's a big part of their identity that they're Irish, and they feel that this is kind of undermined or questioned. Their self-esteem is lowered, in a sense, by Irishness in some way being denigrated. So that they react by being offended, and they want to stamp out what's being said and sort of mock it and stop it from being said. So that would be an obvious example of it. Another example would simply be if you criticise people's religiosity or something like that, then this is a big part of their group, and their group has a group interest. You pass on your genes at the individual level, remember, but you also pass on your genes at the group level. So at the level of group selection, indirectly passing on your genes. And so if somebody is criticising your group, denigrating your group, questioning the self-esteem of your group, then there's a sense in which they are damaging your genetic interests. So it makes sense from an evolutionary perspective to be offended by them doing that as well. So this is why, for example, we'll get Muslims, let's say, as a good example, that will get very offended by the smallest slight against Islam. So this is it makes them question their world. It implies that they failed in some way. It can be taken very, very personally. So anyway, returning to this experiment then, having looked at the evolutionary dimensions of this, they found some very interesting things. So if you think about the nature of the offence, if it's a person who is close to you that offends you, then you will tend to feel very personal emotions. You will feel sadness. You will feel a sense of guilt. If the person that offends you is a friend, you won't feel this quite so much. You'll feel more fear. If a person that offends you is an acquaintance, then you feel more shame. And if the person that offends you is merely a co-worker, then you feel anger and bitterness. So, the degree to which it causes you to question yourself and undermine your self-esteem is made worse the closer to you the person is. And so you're more likely to be offended by what a friend of, what a close friend or a family member or whatever, what they do or what they say, than by someone more distant. Now, this, of course, makes sense. If you have a very good friend who you've invested a great deal of energy in and who you're strongly bonded with, and they don't invite you to their wedding or they don't invite you to their party or something like that, clearly this is more undermining of your self-esteem. This is more making you question your own importance than if somebody you vaguely know doesn't do so. Somebody you vaguely know, you will be A, less offended, you will feel the feelings less strongly, and B, you will feel perhaps slightly different feelings, anger, bitterness, rather than sadness. So this is quite important. There's also sex differences in what you tend to feel when you are offended. So men will be more inclined to feel anger, women will be more inclined to feel sadness and bitterness. I suppose this makes sense in general. There is some evidence that men in general feel anger more strongly than women because they are more aggressive and more prone to fights, and anger will make you want to do that, whereas women feel sadness and bitterness more strongly than do men, which is why it often takes them such a long time to calm down over after fights and things like that. The other dimension is there are sex differences in who is most likely to offend. So with women, they are much more likely to get upset by someone, by what a close person says about them, family and friends. Whereas with men, they are much more likely to get upset by what a co-worker has to say about them. Now, this again makes sense because a working environment is essentially a hierarchy. It's a matter of hierarchy and status. And men are much more status concerned than women. And so it would make sense from an evolutionary perspective that they would get much more upset about perceived slights on their status in a hierarchy than women would, whereas women are more centred around the family and so on, and in the niche of being a mother and a wife and so on. And so consequently, you'd expect family slights and offences to be more important. Also then, who offends you? This research was very interesting in that regard. The more positive is the image of the person who does the offending, the more offended you get. And this, of course, makes sense completely if a friend, because it's lowering your self-esteem and your sense of worth more for someone who knows you well and understands you and whatever to say something bad about you, to criticise you in some way, than it is for some twit on the internet who vaguely knows you, as I get a lot on here, to write some negative comment. Who cares what they write? Who cares? So that of course makes sense as well. The forgiveness element was also of offence was also different. Women are much more likely to forgive when someone offends them. 70% of them will say they will forgive someone that offends them, whereas only 30% of men will do so. So men basically bear grudges forever. So it's a worse idea to offend a man. Now, one of the key variables they looked at in this paper was self-esteem. And this, of course, makes sense. There are self-esteem differences in how easy you are to get easily you get offended. People that have low self-esteem will feel all of the negative emotions associated with being offended, fear, guilt, bitterness, rancor, whatever, they feel them all more strongly, i.e. people that get offended easily tend to have low self-esteem. And those that don't get offended easily have high self-esteem. Those with low self-esteem in particular felt fear, shame, bitterness and guilt considerably more strongly when they got offended than did those who had high self-esteem. But they felt all negative emotions more strongly, which shows you that offence ultimately relates to the maintenance of self-esteem and to the maintenance of a sense of self-worth. The outlier here, of course, is those that have narcissistic personality disorder. Narcissistic personality disorder is characterised by an inflated sense of self, an unstable, unreal sense of self, a belief that you're very, very important and you matter a great deal and you're the centre of the universe and all this kind of thing. And people with narcissistic personality disorder, they tend to become offended easily because, of course, they are incredibly entitled. They're self-entitled. They think they are entitled to special treatment. They're very, very important, that they're brilliant and everyone should love them and worship them. And consequently, the most minuscule slight is going to offend them because they consider themselves worth so much. Now, there's a degree to which it's true of anybody that we live in a hierarchy, and if somebody who you consider to be lower down the hierarchy than you makes a play for status, insults you, then that is going to be very offensive, more offensive than if somebody higher up the hierarchy does so, because that's playing for status. It's undermining your place in the hierarchy. It's damaging your sense of self-esteem. It's saying you're not important. So therefore, people will become offended by children having a go at them or whatever, people who they consider themselves above. Now, naturally, if you consider yourself above everybody, which people who are narcissistic do, they consider themselves above everybody else, then they will become offended very easily, because the slightest anything is an offence. They're perfect. So anything that criticises them or questions them in any way is profoundly offensive. So to anything that says that they're wrong, anything, if you criticise their worldview, if you advocate a worldview they don't agree with, they could interpret this as being personally offensive because they're perfect and they can't possibly be wrong. So how can you possibly even consider espousing a set of values with which they don't agree? And this is this interesting thing about the narcissism epidemic that we talk about at the moment. It's a quite separate issue which can be should be looked at separately. But that a lot of the education system, in many ways, is about causing people to have lower self-esteem, to suppress self-esteem, to suppress a strong sense of self, to militarise them almost, and make them obey orders and make them a sort of functioning part of a group. And if you take this away and everything's about making sure the children's feelings aren't hurt and whatever, then you might think that they would develop a sort of narcissistic tendencies because there'd be no one ever telling them that they weren't perfect. And so you can see where this might come from. But narcissistic people will also become offended very, very, very easily. So that's then the essence, really, of the kind of people who the dynamics of who becomes offended. It's people, in essence, with low self-esteem are more likely to become offended, and low self-esteem tends to be associated with high neuroticism, wherein you feel negative feelings strongly, on the one hand, but it also tends to be associated, interestingly, with high intelligence. People who are more intelligent tend to have lower self-esteem, and also people who are high in agreeableness, they tend to have lower self-esteem as well. Now, they may feel the offence differently. So a person who is high in agreeableness may be offended and it may evoke feelings of guilt and sadness and fear, whereas a person who is high in neuroticism may also be inclined to feel things like anger and whatever when they are offended. But there's these subtle differences in what feelings you feel when you say you feel offended. This was one of the things that this paper by these two Italians showed, that there are these differences. Some people, depending on self-esteem, depending on gender, other factors, when people say I'm offended and they're asked to identify what feelings they feel, there are these interesting differences in what they say they feel according to a number of variables. Now, the ultimate example in some ways of a person who is prone to become offended is a person who has what is called borderline personality disorder. Borderline personality disorder is something which tends to develop in adolescence, and it's characterised by unstable relationship. It crosses over to some extent with narcissism. Unstable relationships, distorted sense of self, so you don't really know who you are, or you aren't sure who you are, or you have a very unrealistic sense of who you are, and so you end up with this sense of emptiness and just not understanding what you're doing and what's going on. Very, very strong emotional reactions, often to the slightest stimuli. A sense of very strong fear of sort of emptiness and abandonment, and a tendency towards substance abuse and suffering from depression. 10% of those that have borderline personality disorder die by suicide. Women are 3 times more likely to have borderline personality disorder than men. And it is a disorder which will make it very difficult for you to get on in life and very difficult to get on with other people. And a key characteristic of it is that you become easily offended. You're very, very unstable and irascible, and things which wouldn't offend a normal person. There's a sense in which perhaps your self-esteem is so low and your sense of self-worth is so low on some level that the things that wouldn't offend a normal person will offend you. So you're very, very unpredictable. Now, I did a video a while ago called Why Can't Conservatives and Liberals Be Friends? About an old friend of mine who is now sort of a liberal fundamentalist, really, and who and how we fell out. And you can watch that video. I don't propose to repeat things here. But it strikes me that this was a person who would become offended extremely easily. The very slightest thing would offend him. And in particular, he would... little tiny things that nobody else would have thought of would offend him. You had to walk on eggshells around him. So, for example, there was a period of time where I remember I was unemployed, and I don't know what I said that triggered him, something about having successfully published an article or something, but he wasn't able to do this, and so this offended him, I suppose, I don't know. And so then he'd use that as a means of having a go at me about being unemployed. And this would be an example of somebody that was incredibly sensitive to the slightest thing, and would be triggered very, very easily. And you'd see it in his eyes as well. When he was triggered, his eyes would change. And this is quite interesting in terms of the causes of borderline personality disorder, because one of the key causes seems to be post-traumatic stress disorder. So people who have been abused or have suffered a great deal of stress, and they can deal with this via dissociation. So they kind of create. They suppress the feelings deep down inside them, the negative feelings and the negative events, almost like they forget them, and then they're able to cope through that mechanism. But sometimes something will happen to trigger them, to trigger those memories or trigger those feelings, and they will burst through onto the surface. And so you have this dissociation, this alteration in the nature of self, really, where alteration in your reality. And this can be seen in the eyes. When people are dissociated, their eyes will kind of become glassy. You'll see this change in the eyes. So that was very, very interesting. But he would become, as I say, offended extremely easily over the slightest thing that might relate in any way to anything about him. Perhaps it was a narcissistic trait, but it was really a borderline personality trait. And the other dimension which was relevant was what's called splitting. This is quite interesting, and this is a very clear dimension to borderline personality, which is that your attitude towards people you know is kind of love-hate. You, on the one hand, you might really, really, really like a person and think they're fantastic and brilliant and whatever and great and a really good friend or whatever. And then something might trigger you, and then your attitude will completely change, and change very quickly to intensely hating and disliking the person. Really hating them and destroying them and wanting to really hurt them. And then it'll just change back. To liking them again. And so you end up with this sort of love-hate relationship where the person that's with you can't predict what you're going to be like from one moment to the next. And you could at one point make them feel like $1 million. And at another point, something will just snap in you because you'll be triggered by your offence radar will be triggered by something. And then you'll go for it, and you'll absolutely hate them and hate everything about them. And as I looked at in the video, that was very true of this person. So we would meet up, and then on one occasion it would be great and everything would be fine and we'd be good friends. And on another occasion, he would just spend all his time morally judging me and having a go at me and saying how terrible I was. And then sometimes those two things would happen within the same evening, and then the evening would culminate in him breaking down and crying and weeping like a little girl about whatever it was that was upsetting him at the time. So that is a toxic, toxic individual. But that is borderline personality disorder. Part of it seems to be caused by, and it's the essence of getting offended. These people get offended extremely easily because they have such strong emotional reactions, because they have such an unclear sense of who they are, and so and they fear abandonment so much, and so they feel a sort of love-hate relationship towards people, because on the one hand they can deeply like them and be attached to them, but on the other hand they fear them abandoning them, and this kind of makes them hate them. And so And these things can be triggered at the very, very easily. So that's the two dimensions to this seem to be, on the one hand, post-traumatic stress disorder, abuse, an unhappy childhood, particularly problems with the mother. On the other hand, and the other issue seems to be paternal age effect. There is a paternal age effect on borderline personality disorder, which implies as a man gets older, his sperm is more likely to be of low quality, it's more likely to have a high mutational load, things are more likely to go wrong, therefore, in the development of his offspring at a very early stage, in the development of the brain, which is a high target for mutation, gets 84% of the genome, and one of these things is borderline personality disorder. The individual in question had a very old father, well over 40, so that would be consistent with that as well. So that's the kind of people that get offended, basically. So the next time you find it, someone is offended by something you've done, take into account the fact that they are likely to have low self-esteem, low sense of self-worth, and in extreme cases, they may well have a borderline personality disorder in general, or specifically narcissism. And the epidemic of, so when people say, as though they're proud of it, oh, I'm offended, I find this very offensive, I find this offensive, well, then your response should be, okay, well then you need to do something to boost your self-esteem. Because people who have reasonable levels of self-esteem and who don't have personality disorders don't get offended, really. So the fact that you have got offended is you saying, I have a low sense of self-esteem and I perhaps have some kind of personality disorder. Well, if you do, you should see a doctor or a therapist rather than go around proudly announcing that you are offended by something. And if you're offended by this, anything I've said in this video, sort your life out. Okay, I hope this has been of interest, and if it has, then feel free to give me some guineas on Subscribestar, PayPal, or Patreon, that's the one. If you have any ideas, this was an idea that somebody suggested I do, so if you have any ideas, then please do get in touch. I'm always welcoming of ideas for videos. I generally do them as well. And so please do get in touch if you have any ideas. And I will see you soon. And goodbye!